Thank you. Thank you. Broadcasting around the world at kpcg.fm. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG is produced by the Philadelphia Church of God. The Philadelphia Church of God produces a range of free educational publications, including the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine and Royal Vision Christian Living Magazine. The church also produces the Key of David television program. The Philadelphia Church of God is made up of members and congregations in 52 countries around the world. The PCG serves its publishing and broadcasting work and its members from regional offices in England, Canada, and Australia, and from its home campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. The PCG also supports Herbert W. Armstrong College and the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation. The PCG produces KPCG, broadcasting online at kpcg.fm and at 101.3 FM from the church's home campus in North Edmond. Information about the Philadelphia Church of God is available on its website, pcog.org.
Thank you. Good morning. It's the top of the hour. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, KPCG.FM online, and 101.3 FM in the Edmond, Oklahoma area. Here are the latest headlines from Feature Story News.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks. Multiple reports indicate that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, will go ahead with a highly controversial visit to Taiwan. Taiwanese broadcasters say she's due to arrive on the island on Tuesday, though her pit stop in Taipei is not part of her official itinerary. The Chinese have warned that her visit to the disputed island will create an incendiary flashpoint. From FSN's Washington Bureau, Nick Harper reports.
Nancy Pelosi would become the first House Speaker in a quarter of a century to visit the island of Taiwan, a move expected to inflame Beijing. Officials in the Chinese capital have already warned it could retaliate if the trip goes ahead, saying it would have an egregious political impact. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the US should not be intimidated by such rhetoric, and he said that the Biden administration will support Pelosi, even though the president has voiced concern about the possible visit and the implications it could have for US relations with China.
The United Nations is welcoming the sailing of the first ship from Ukraine under the agreement with Russia to release grain from the country's ports. It's hoped the deal will ease the threat of a global food crisis. From FSN's bureau at UN headquarters in New York, Sarah Walton with more.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the ship left Odessa on Monday morning carrying two commodities in short supply, corn and hope. The ship is the first to leave under a deal between Ukraine and Russia, brokered by the UN and Turkey, that was agreed earlier this month. It thought some 20 million tons of grain have been trapped at Ukraine's ports since the Russian invasion began in February, leading to shortages and rising food prices around the world.
Celebrations continue in the UK after England's Lionesses won the Euro 2022 championships at Wembley over the weekend. Around 87,000 people, a record crowd for women's football, attended the final against Germany. Faye White is a former England footballer and says it could inspire generations of young girls to get involved in the sport.
For years we've had people saying you shouldn't play, we don't want you to play, and almost trying to put us away back in the box. And I think Leah, the current captain, has said we're not going anywhere. And that was our attitude. It was, no, we love this game, why can't we play it? And that was certainly my mantle throughout my career and my teammates, to try and push the game on to new levels, to pave this pathway really for these players now to go on, and now the investment is there to go on and win something, and they've achieved it.
At least two people have been killed and 15 others injured after UN peacekeepers opened fire on protesters at a border post in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says he is outraged by the shooting and called for an immediate investigation. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
The Trumpet Daily is presented by Stephen Fleury, analyzes world news and history from a distinct perspective. The program compares current events to prophecies found in the Bible. The program also offers free educational publications, including the Trumpet News Magazine, the Trumpet Weekly News Digest, and books and booklets. The Trumpet Daily is produced at the Philadelphia Church of God's home campus in Edmond, Oklahoma, and its sister campus in Edstone, England. More information is available at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And Morrow Flyboy have absolutely opened up on them. Inside the furlong poll, he might lead it by double digits. Heavenly Trump is going to be second. Oh, and Morrow Flyboy ducked in, hit the rail, and unseated the rider. And Heavenly Trump is going to inherit the win here.
when does the front runner in a horse race just abruptly take a left turn into the guardrail going down the home stretch? Answer, when the second place horse is named Heavenly Trump. I love the announcer's call there. Heavenly Trump is going to inherit the win. Now, look, you don't need to read too much into a horse race. That's what we're here to do. This is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on that platform. Also, to get to the live video stream, of course, you go to our very own website. That would be thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you to the live stream page. Also, it takes you to all of the programs that we post after the fact as well. Lots to get to, lots and lots to get to on today's show. We've got a 5-minute montage, by the way, of the final video, I guess a shorter version of the final video that we showed at the end of the summer educational program just last night. We had our closing ceremony, our awards ceremony, the final speeches from the speech class at camp. So just a delightful evening, a sad evening, I know, too, for a lot of young people who are now off and running, heading back home, wherever they might be from. So we're certainly anxious already for next year. And as it says at the very end of that that video, we'll look forward to seeing you in 2023. So that'll be coming up in the second segment. We'll talk about just some of the instruction, the admonitions that we gave to the teens over the past 3 weeks. And as I say, show you some nice footage, including some of the campers that were right here in this studio for the broadcasting clinic that some of them were able to experience. So this horse race, we did a little bit of research on it this morning, because when I saw the footage or the clip last night, I thought this can't be real. This has to be a hoax or fake, some kind of fake news. Evidently, it happened on June 24th, 2022, over a month ago. So like Sam was saying this morning, how did we not know about this story over the past month? How did we not know? I think it's somewhere in Texas, this racetrack. But yeah, when have you seen something like this happen? So crazy. The lead horse just turning and knocking the jockey right out of the saddle as he rams into the guardrail. This is from Gateway Pundit. It says, you can't make this up. You hear that on this show from time to time. It says, don't ever bet against Trump. It says, Morrow Flyboy hit the rail just yards from the finish line, and jockey Simon Camacho Benitez was flipped off the horse and thrown off the track. That's when Heavenly Trump rushed by to win the race. This from Outkick. A headline says, lead horse at Lone Star Park bucks jockey. Act of God, it says, gives victory to Heavenly Trump. So one thing we know, there's, as I say, nothing really to read into this, I don't think. But you know God has a sense of humor as well. Psalms 2 brings this out. In fact, as you'll see on the montage later on, our SEP montage, we had some instruction for the young people on just the importance of laughter, how important it is to just really have a good sense of humor. Of course, a lot of people take this too far in our society, and a lot of humor, if you can call it that, is very negative and biting and cynical, sarcastic, all that kind of thing. You see that routinely on TV and in the movies. But godly humor, it's like a medicine, it says in the book of Proverbs. And so we do laugh. We do laugh a lot, and sometimes you have to have a sense of humor when you see so many of these negative headlines. Speaking of Donald Trump, he was out on the golf course over the weekend, and this is what he's teasing for another presidential run. When he was asked, you know, when are you going to announce this? Look at his response here. This is clip 6.
Mr. President, are you planning to announce soon for the
You're going to be so happy.
You're going to be so happy when I announce. So he's all but saying that he's running again for president. And of course, concurrent with this is, as we touched on Friday, You have all of these headlines, all of these commentators saying, oh, yeah, the walls are closing in on him. Fox News has abandoned him. He was with Tucker Carlson over the weekend. They were smiling and laughing during some kind of an engagement, again, at a golf course. Tucker has not abandoned him, at least not yet. But I think a lot of commentators on Fox News have. Some have written about the New York Times article from last week saying that I guess it's been something like 100 days since Donald Trump was on Fox with Hannity. And that's true. I mean, Fox, the higher ups at Fox have certainly distanced themselves from Donald Trump. They want him to go away, just like so many in the propaganda media. The Republicans, Democrats alike. And Tucker Carlson, of course, he probably has a little bit more leeway just because he's the highest rated cable news presenter. And so I imagine they're going to give him a little more latitude. He's even come pretty close to talking about the election steal outright. He's kind of danced around that subject in recent weeks. This too from Gateway. It says, "We the People, the Arizona Alliance, hosted an election security forum in Maricopa County on Saturday, featuring testimony from expert witnesses and state legislators." It says, "This informational hearing, moderated by investigative journalist Laura Logan," so she's another one that's being shunned by a lot of the higher-ups in big media, "presented evidence of fraud in the 2020 presidential election and addressed the concerns in the 2022 elections." It says here the data was, let me back up. It says the hearing also featured a bombshell testimony revealing exactly who in Maricopa County deleted subpoenaed 2020 election files before delivery to Arizona Senate auditors. They were deleting away. I mean, there's evidence all over the place. Can you even believe all of the talking heads that said there's no evidence, no evidence whatsoever of an election steal? It says here, on Saturday, it was revealed by Van Bibber that Maricopa County Election Database Administrator Brian Ramirez was granted unauthorized entry to the server room on multiple occasions, and he deleted the files. He had unauthorized entry or access, and he deleted these files before they were turned over to auditors. This is what all these counties are continuing to turn up. If there is a fair and honest audit, even a lot of those audits have been run by, you know, lawless actors, lawless election officials. This is from Conservative Treehouse, reminding us basically why they hate Donald Trump, why they despise him, why they must destroy him even. He says here, President Barack Obama's former campaign, you know all about the Antiochus prophecy, the Jeroboam prophecy. We've gone through this before. America Under Attack will be here in days, just a few days. It's hard to believe it's August the 1st. We're nearing the end of the summer. Time really is flying by. But listen to this. President Barack Obama's former campaign manager, David Fluff, famously said of Donald Trump's entry into politics, "It is not enough to simply beat Trump. He must be destroyed thoroughly. His kind must not rise again." That was Barack Obama's former campaign manager. That's what he tweeted out in June of 2016, before Donald Trump even became president the first time in 2016 when he won the election against Hillary Clinton. David Fluff says here, he's got to be destroyed. He must never rise again. I mean, how do you explain this? On the one hand, you've got people swooning for Barack Obama. And on the other hand, someone like Donald Trump, who's just a patriot, a real estate mogul, that's it. He must be destroyed. Why? Why must Donald Trump be destroyed? It's not enough to just beat him. You've got to destroy him. So said this campaign official for Barack Obama. Sundance goes on and says, "What was it that Washington, D.C. and President Obama's team feared so much about Donald J. Trump?" The answer to that question is why the FBI, DOJ, and CIA targeted Trump in 2016 and why they continued the targeting in 2017 with the Mueller investigation and why they continued the targeting through two attempts at impeachment in 2019 and 2020, and why they still keep targeting Donald Trump with the January 6th committee and the DOJ investigation 2 years after he's no longer in office. This is what America Under Attack is all about. They continue to target him. It's going on 2 years now since he left the White House, and they continue. He's out golfing. He's out golfing and joking around, sending out a statement every once in a while, going to a campaign rally here and there. I guess he's not officially campaigning yet, but he goes from one rally to the next, and people turn out in droves. Someone in passing on the golf course just over the weekend said to him, "We miss you so much. You can't possibly know how much we miss you." This is the way so many Americans think and feel. And everyone in the establishment media, however, they say, well, the walls are closing in. I listened to a roundtable from Stelter's show yesterday, and they're going on and on about, yeah, he's just, you know, he's old news. He's not as exciting or as original as he was in 2016. So people are losing interest. Yeah, right. Wishful thinking. This is what they want the story to be. They want to wish him away, and he won't go away. It says here, Donald J. Trump is the existential threat. When your business involves gaining personal wealth by selling out America, Donald Trump is bad for business. See, he's bad for the business of the swamp because he comes in and exposes them. And listen, a whole lot more has been exposed because of the election steal, even since he left the White House in January 2020, because they continue to attack like rabid dogs. They just can't let it go. Liz Cheney, CNN had a big reveal over the weekend from Wyoming. They're going around from one Wyoming resident to the next, and they just cannot stand what Liz Cheney is doing. Yeah, I voted for her last time, but not this time. No way. They know this is unjust. They know this is lawless. They know it's completely one-sided. They know they've let Pelosi and friends have shut out Republicans from even giving another side to the story or cross-examining some of the witnesses. Some of these witnesses that have flip-flopped on their own stories. It says here, Barack Obama, John Brennan, Eric Holder, and James Comey. These are all names you'll learn a lot more about in our new version of America Under Attack, due to come out here in just a few days. They did not create a weaponized DOJ and FBI. The institutions were already weaponized by the Patriot Act. So again, these are some pretty fundamental transformations that happened following the 9/11 attack. But it says here, what the Obama-era officials did was take the pre-existing system and retool it so those weapons of government only conducted surveillance and targeting toward one side of the political dynamic. He says it's on this point where so many people get confused. Those agencies were weaponized following 9/11. But following 9/11, they were actually going after actual terrorists, trying to prevent a terrorist attack. What happened when Obama got in there in 2009 is he took those agencies and turned them instead in the direction of political opponents. He weaponized the DOJ, the FBI, all of the alphabet agencies, the IRS even, aiming them straight at their political opponents. That's, again, straight out of America Under Attack. You'll be able to read and study a whole lot more about that here in just a few days. Of course, it's already available, as we've said over and again, at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com and get a head start on the new and upgraded, updated version of America Under Attack, nearly 200 pages. Really excited about the distribution of that print version of the new book. Well, last week we commented on Joe Biden and his Paxlovid treatment coming out of COVID, and then it was announced that he got it again. So he's on the Paxlovid rebound. Surprise, surprise. Just like Tony Fauci. They brag about I got all the jabs. I got the double jab. I got the booster. I got another booster. Now I'm on Paxlovid. And I mean, Biden was coming out, as I went on Friday's program to point out, the propaganda press was just going on and on about how awesome the week was for Joe Biden. He conquered COVID. That's what they were saying on Wednesday and Thursday. This is what Biden himself said, clip two.
Here's the bottom line. When my predecessor got COVID, he had to get helicoptered to Walter Reed Medical Center. He was severely ill. Thankfully, he recovered. When I got COVID, I worked from upstairs of the White House and the offices upstairs and for that five-day period. The difference is vaccinations, of course, but also three new tools, free to all and widely available. You don't need to be president to get these tools used for your defense. In fact, the same booster shots, the same at-home test, the same treatment that I got is available to you. My administration has made sure that all Americans across the country, from all walks of life, have free access to those tools. COVID was killing thousands of Americans a day when I got here. That isn't the case anymore. You can live without fear by doing what I did, get boosted, get tested, and get treatment.
And then 2 days later, get COVID. Get COVID again. You almost knew. Here again, God has a sense of humor. You almost knew when he made that statement, and he talks about his predecessor. He can't even get Donald Trump out of the story. He's got to compare himself to Trump. It's like Trump is occupying a little studio apartment inside of his mind. And then 2 days later, they announced that he got COVID again. He's having to self-isolate again. Is he going to come out the next time after these 5, 6, 7 days in isolation and talk about how much work he got done in the White House? Trump went off to Walter Reed on a Friday and was back in the White House on Monday. Yeah, he went for some treatment, too. It was a little bit different than what Joe Biden is on with the Paxlovid and such. And here, as I played for you on Friday, this is a financial boon for Pfizer. And we don't even know much about this drug. Not yet. It's unbelievable. Can't make these things up. You just can't make it up. This is from The Atlantic. What is even going on with Paxlovid? What is the deal? This is supposed to protect you from COVID. People are going on it, they're coming right out of COVID, and then they're going right back into COVID. It says here, 4 days after recovering from COVID-19, President Joe Biden has tested positive again. When he first got sick, Biden, like more than one-third of Americans who have tested positive for COVID-19 this summer, when is this going to end? A third of Americans testing positive for this, and we're now, what, 2.5 years into this pandemic? On the one hand, they'll try to milk it for everything that they can. Or if he recovers, well, this is a sign of just how powerful all the drugs are, all the man-made drugs. Look at, and Biden himself, what a week for Joe Biden. He conquered COVID. That's what we were hearing 2 seconds ago. It says here he was prescribed Paxlovid, an antiviral pill treatment made by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer. It says here, like many Paxlovid takers, he soon tested negative and resumed his normal activities. And then, like many Paxlovid takers, his infection came right back. You can't make this up. This is a straight-up news piece from The Atlantic. It says here, with more than 40,000 prescriptions being handed out a day, we're taking Paxlovid at about the same rate that we're taking oxycodone, whatever that is. Says here, what a world, by the way. This big pharma, all these pharmaceutical companies and the drugs that they churn out. You see the commercials for them on TV, and they have to list off all the side effects, you know, at that super fast pace at the very end of their commercial. And some of the side effects are just, they're almost laugh out loud, comical. And people take these drugs. They take these drugs without even batting an eye at it. It says here, when Anthony Fauci had COVID in June, he took two courses of the Paxlovid. That enthusiasm is in line with the government's messaging around the drug. The messaging of the government, which makes you wonder how many of them, like Paul Pelosi, have shares of Pfizer. They need those shares to increase in price if they're going to make their millions. Because a lot of these government officials, they sound like they're working in the marketing department at Pfizer. Paxlovid, Paxlovid, Paxlovid. Biden himself was talking about all of this, these successful treatments. Look, you can have access to it just like I can. It says here, the Biden administration has consistently hailed Paxlovid as an effective tool in the fight against COVID-19. It says dozens of, listen to this. This is toward the end of the Atlantic piece. Dozens of independent studies of the drug have been published or released as preprints, and yet doctors remain unsure of, listen to this, millions and millions of people are now taking this drug, and yet doctors remain unsure of who might benefit from Paxlovid and in what ways, who really needs it, why and how often rebound infections such as Biden's and Fauci's occur, whether the drug reduces patients' risks of developing long COVID, and whether the virus will slowly develop resistance to the drug. In other words, we don't know anything. We don't know anything about this drug. It's just like the vaccines when they rolled that out. They hadn't tested anything, not in the long-term sense, certainly not. They still haven't. They just produce it. Anthony Bourla comes out on CNBC saying, yeah, we're saving lives. And by the way, record profits too. I mean, they're saying this in almost the same sentences. And then we're supposed to believe that there's no, you know, conflict of interest here. It's all over the place. And they don't even know what this drug does, except that it causes you to get COVID again. And Pfizer, they're laughing all the way to the bank. We played this clip for you on Friday, clip 5.
Albert, you had tremendous numbers today. Your COVID products obviously exceeding all expectations. Tell me what it's like to have the biggest beat in estimates that I know I've ever seen in my life, and how you accomplished it.
You know, even more rewarding for me is that we touched the lives of 850 million people approximately, which is 70% higher than last year. And that gave us this very big beat, because that's the beauty in our business. If you create value for patients, you are going to have value for the shareholders. This year, this quarter's earnings was the highest ever in the history of Pfizer in terms of revenues. And I believe the highest ever in the history of the industry.
Shameful. Just a racket. It's all about money. It's all about, you can't really trust them on anything. Even all the headlines, Nancy Pelosi flying into Taiwan. You know, good for the United States to stick up for little Taiwan. It's about time. But what are the motives here? what are the financial connections to this trip that evidently Biden discouraged her from making? It'll be interesting to see how that this plays out. China, obviously, giving all of these announcements like they're readying their military. Crazy world. On Friday's show, we quoted from that AFP story. Biden is suddenly winning. Just don't say the R word, the recession, that is. Overcoming COVID and outfoxing the Republicans, Joe Biden's having an unusually good week. And he won't let Thursday's recession talk spoil his mood. And then the next day, he tweets out that he's got the COVID again. He's on the COVID rebound. One day to the next. AFP says here, Democrats are suddenly on a roll. Yeah, it's Biden who's on a roll. Democrats on a roll. And it's Trump. It's Trump who, and the walls are closing in. They actually used that phrase again last week. This is from CNN. Trump is in growing legal and political jeopardy after a whirlwind week. Jennifer Rubin wishfully writes, if Trump feels a tad claustrophobic, it's because the walls are closing in. She recycled that phrase that's been used approximately a billion times over the past 6 years. Newsmax recently talked about, again, the higher-ups at Fox News and the distance they're creating from Trump. I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it, that everywhere that he goes, people turn out to cheer him on, and yet he rarely gets any positive press whatsoever, not even from Fox News, except for Tucker Carlson. He rarely gets anything positive from the mainstream media. Listen to him in this crime speech that Donald Trump delivered. This was when he returned to D.C., last week for the first time since he left. Clip three.
Right now, these next few years, our country will decide whether we are going to allow a corrupt and radical ruling class to snuff out the torch of liberty, or whether we will resist the forces of decay and raise that torch higher and prouder than ever to enlighten and inspire the entire world. We can do that. Together, we're standing up against some of the most menacing forces, entrenched interests, and vicious opponents our people have ever seen or confronted.
And they are entrenched. And he represents, as Sundance brings out at Conservative Treehouse, he represents the existential threat. And so it's not enough to beat him. It's not enough to beat him. He must be destroyed. But you see, God has something to say about that. God says he's coming back. He may look like a long shot in a horse race, but he is coming back. When we come back, we're going to play that montage from our closing ceremonies of the summer educational program, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The next 3 weeks, there's going to be wonderful opportunities for you to grow. And we'll be at the awards ceremony before you know it, the snap of a finger, and we'll be back up here talking about how great camp was and talking about what you're going to go home with now that camp is over. Bright and early tomorrow, you've got ignition and breakfast and speech and benchmarks and all kinds of other glorious, glorious activities for the next 3 weeks. So we're thankful that you're here. We love you. We appreciate you. We need you. And we hope and pray that you'll make the very most of this
camp experience. This is God's camp. It's not like anything else in this world.
So today we are doing broadcasting with Mr. Falk and Mr. Campbell.
Do you know who you are, what you are, why you are?
This is the new America Under Attack.
That's the old one. This book will show you the seven foundational mysteries. It's seven, I think, yeah.
If you like our new hosts, then give us some feedback and give us some 5 stars.
Are they actually recording this?
I think so. Are they? Yes, what? This is being recorded.
I love the sermonette we heard the first week about laughter, and I would just echo that and actually give a piece of advice that you should try to laugh super hard, like belly laugh, laugh till you cry, at least once a week.
I think a great goal for all the campers to have is to go home and really apply everything that they've learned here at SCP and come back next year stronger, faster, more educated, just having improved in every aspect of their life. Make it a year of growth, a year of development, and be excited about what the future holds.
God is educating you to rule the world. And we just thoroughly enjoy having you young people here and showing you the kind of future that God is building for you. You young people, commit yourself to what you have been taught here. Learn everything you possibly can, take it home with you, and apply it, and have the greatest life possible on this earth.
God's family is to grow and expand so much that we're to be given jurisdiction over the entire universe. You can read about that at the end of Mystery of the Ages. One of the gals in this studio held it up. It's the 7th and final chapter. The mystery of the kingdom of God. Who understands the truth about this mystery? To expand on out into the universe. God created it for a purpose. He didn't make it in vain, as the prophet Isaiah said. There's a reason. You look at it today, and we're getting all these images coming in from the James Webb Telescope, and you see these lifeless planets. I mean, you look at it from afar, and it's glorious. these brilliant, I mean, the stars that we saw down at the Wichita Mountains during the SEP campout, just a brilliant display of God's creative handiwork. And yet you zoom in close to some of these planets and they're like Mars or the surface of the moon. There's just no life. There will be. Talk about growth. That was one of the themes that we had right through this 3 weeks of summer educational program. The theme was leaders in training. These young people are in training. And what we encourage them to do during the 3 weeks of training here at camp and now beyond is to grow, as you heard one of our speakers say, to improve, to make this a year of growth, to keep growing. Right at the outset of the autobiography of Herbert Armstrong, it says here, from beginnings humble and small without parallel to the magnitude of today's enterprises and worldwide impact is the story of growth unbelievable. That's really what his ministry was about. It was the story of growth. It started in the smallest possible way. There in the Willamette Valley, he didn't even have a car. He did a lot of his early ministry on foot. Who can forget about the Fisher Farm and kneeling at the prayer rock that we now have in the Hall of Administration? Out in the field somewhere, all by himself, establishing contact with his creator, Mr. Armstrong was. And then look at the work and where it was at the end of his ministry. At the age of 93, all of those summer educational programs, all of those youth programs, YOU, YES, SEP, AC, the campuses, the tabernacles, the festivals, the Feast of Tabernacles, all over the world, tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of followers, millions of readers, viewers of the world tomorrow. It all had a mustard seed beginning, though. Started in the smallest possible way, but it grew to be the biggest. You see, the commentators of the 1980s, they didn't point this out. They should have. You can read about it in Raising the Ruins. Just compare the work of Herbert Armstrong with any other famous televangelist of the 1980s. And Mr. Armstrong was out in front of all of them. But the commentators didn't even reference him or refer to him or talk about his ministry because he doesn't count. He's not mainstream. Sort of the same spirit that you see with Donald Trump. So he's an outsider. He represents a threat. So just ignore him. Just don't talk about him. And they did. How could you ignore someone that sent out a magazine in the 1980s that had a larger circulation than Time Magazine and Newsweek combined? That was back when people actually ordered magazines, print version of magazines. I mean, the technology is changing fast today and people are going more to online subscriptions and such. But back in the 80s, before this information explosion on the internet, millions of people actually look forward to getting Time Magazine and Newsweek every week. And millions more looked forward to getting the Plain Truth Magazine every month in their mailbox. Isn't that amazing? What a work. The story of growth. It says here, it's incredible. It's the incredible story of something never before done. Never done this way, a seemingly impossible achievement, utterly unique in the world. You've never seen a work like it. As I said at the opening of that SEP montage, there's no camp experience like this one. There's nothing in the world like it because this is God's. And the world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, it says that this is Satan's world. Satan has deceived the whole world, Revelation 12:9. Now, God is doing his work. He's preparing another world in this church. the world that's to be set up when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and rules from Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The autobiography says, ask yourself what company, business, enterprise, or institution in this world's ways ever experienced a steady growth averaging nearly 30% every year for decades. It just kept growing and expanding and multiplying. And that's what we were telling our young people. Look, look at the example around you. Look at God's work. Look at the growth. Look at the growth of this work. I mean, with what we started with back in 1989, it was just 12 people and I think $80. Really? And look at where we are today, some 33 years on. The critics back then were saying we're just a peanut shell, floating nowhere, going nowhere, doing nothing. Where are they today? Where are the critics? Where is the Worldwide Church of God? Where is the Plain Truth Magazine? Where is the World Tomorrow? You know, all of those Laodicean ministers, they had the big ideas following Herbert Armstrong's death. They came out with the five-year plan to do this, and we're going to trim the Plain Truth circulation here and just be a more efficient operation. And with the TV program, we've got all these new ideas. We're going to have multiple presenters, and I mean, it's going to become popular. And they all went under. Everything fell apart. Everything was sold off. And all these corrupt ministers, these sons of destruction, they just lined their pockets with cash. Destroyed the work, God's work, even as they served themselves. Matthew 7 and verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They may sound like angels of light. They may talk about Jesus. They may talk about how that this is such a wonderful transformation. Transformed by truth. That's what one of those ministers, he titled his book that. Transformed by truth. Another one put liberation in the title of his book. Yeah, we've been liberated. We've been liberated. It's just like 2 Peter 2 says. They promise you liberty as even they are they're servants of bondage and sin. They're in bondage to sin. But they talk about liberty. They talk about transformation. It says here they're ravening wolves. And so what is Christ's instruction for us? Verse 16, it says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You see, you're going to be able to know if you look at the fruits. You can't hide the fruits, at least not for very long. Now, it does take time. You look at the law of the farm, it takes time before you see some of that fruit really show itself. But one way or another, you're going to be able to see it visibly. And it's the same with these young people. It's possible, I told them this during camp, it's possible to just sit there and to not really be sold on this way of life, to not really believe it from the heart. It is possible for a time to be a hypocrite, to say one thing and to do another. But over time, I mean, that's going to be exposed. Look at what God's done to these Laodiceans. He's exposed them. Look at what he's doing in the nation of Manasseh at the moment. America. He's exposing all of these communist infiltrators going on and on about how that they love law. They love the Constitution. They love freedom. Even as they work to destroy the very nation that they live in. So judge them by fruits. God says, look at the fruits. Is there growth? Are they growing? Verse 20 says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. You're going to know by their fruits. Such a powerful and yet very simple lesson brought out here by Jesus Christ. Herbert Armstrong used to talk about how that you'll grow personally, individually, you'll grow if you put your heart in God's work. And you can see why, looking at some of this history and reading this instruction from Jesus. Because the work is growing. The work, I mean, the whole focus of God's work is on giving to the world. So there's a principle of godly love at play all the time. Just give it freely. Distribute it freely. And then let God provide. Let God open the windows of heaven and pour out all the blessings on his work, like it says in Malachi 3. And God does do that. He does it for this church. He did it for Herbert Armstrong before us. He was just out there freely proclaiming the true gospel message to the world, sending out the plain truth freely. No subscription price, nothing. He just wanted to give. And the thing of it is, you can't outgive God. If you just practice Acts 20 and verse 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive, then God will bless you. This is what we were telling our young people for 3 weeks. Live the way of give. Live the way of blessings. Choose life. Choose blessings. Deuteronomy 30. You're going to be able to see those blessings at some point. Again, it takes some time for growth, but just focus on the growth. Focus on improvement. Use the time that God makes available. It goes by so fast. This physical life is just like a vapor, the Bible says. A little mist that disappears after a short time. Use that short time that you have to really concentrate and to focus on growth. It does take some time to produce fruit. It does take some time to produce godly character. It takes the help and the power of God over time to produce this kind of growth, this kind of fruit. Listen to Herbert Armstrong. This is from a message he gave in 1979, clip 7.
Do you know of anyone who, upon conversion, just all of a sudden, quicker than you could bat an eye, all of a sudden had all of the understanding, the comprehension, and the knowledge of everything in the Bible, and the full knowledge of God, and knew everything that God could impart and would want them to know? Do you know anyone that ever got it quite that fast and that quickly? Of course not. What would you think of a baby when on conception, instead of growing large enough to be born in its mother's womb, all of a sudden, in 1 second, became a 6-foot man? Or a baby upon birth that would all of a sudden go up to about 6'8" in the next 1 or 2 seconds? You know, it has to grow. Things like that grow. Physical things grow. They don't happen so suddenly. Now, we are told that we have to grow in knowledge as well as in grace. And this whole thing, it's just common sense, and it makes sense. It's a matter of just learning the true values and the things that really make you happy, the things that really make life worth living, the things that help you to make other people more happy and that are good for everybody until it's just good to be alive.
That way of life is coming to this earth. It's already here in the form of God's family, God's church. But soon, this is the way everyone's going to be living. It will spread. It will spread. Over all the earth, imagine a world in which everyone is happy and blessed and contented and achieving and living the way of love. Imagine a world where everyone is growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My father said many, many years ago that growth, personal growth, it really does keep us motivated and stimulated to do more. As you go home, we told those campers, as you go home over the next 49 weeks before you come back to SEP for those life-changing 3 weeks of the year, for the next 49 weeks, concentrate on growth and improvement. Even if they're just little incremental steps, if you're heading in the right direction, there's going to be a pretty big payoff in the end. Visible fruit. Listen to this statement from Mr. Armstrong in 1985, clip 8.
We have to grow in knowledge. We have to learn God's program. We have to learn that God is calling us not just to be saved. He's calling us to learn to be rulers and teachers.
In training to rule. In training to become a teacher. One of the speakers last night, I think he's 16, 17 years old. He was in the speak-offs last year. I congratulated him and said, hey, you've done this 2 years in a row. That's amazing. What an achievement. And he talked about how that he really enjoyed public speaking. And I said, well, you come to AC, you're going to get a lot of instruction and teaching in that field, in that endeavor. And that'll prepare you for life wherever you end up. In the short term, but in the long term, I mean, you're called to teach. God's family is here. We're in training to teach, and the way that we prepare for that calling, is to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is 2 Peter 3, verse 17. Mr. Armstrong, by the way, he referred to the program, grow in knowledge. We've got to learn God's program. Last night I told the campers, look, take this program. We put a lot into every detail. We put a lot into every minute of this program. And you were busy. There were some exhausted kids there last night. Get a little bit of rest on the ride home. But then really put that program into practice in your individual life. And see if it doesn't produce growth and improvement. 2 Peter 3:17 says, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Beware, says Peter. You don't want to fall from your own steadfastness. I mean, if you're humming along in service to God, obediently following the example of Jesus Christ, submitting to God's family government. It's easy, like my father said in one of his messages here at SEP, it's easy to get vain and to turn and walk away from it, to walk away from it all. It's easy to become self-reliant instead of relying on God. And to just walk away from this glorious calling. And of course, when you do that, the growth immediately stops. In fact, you start going backwards. Verse 18, it says, but grow. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. Grow, says Peter, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to keep growing. We have to keep learning. And this applies not just to a 16-year-old. This applies to all of us. If you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, we have to keep growing and learning just the way that Herbert Armstrong did all the way through to the time when he was 93 years old and virtually blind and producing Mystery of the Ages, his greatest book ever. That's amazing. Says a lot about growth and how it ought to never, ever stop. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'd love to get some feedback from you. Let's see what you think about the SEP montage, for example. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.